Jeans
up.
Ready?
Let's go.
And action.
Your jeans are so high. Your jeans are
so high.
Your jeans are
so tight.
Your jeans are
high and tight.
They're so very motherfucking high and tight.
Mmm. Yo, I had I had something come up, so I'm no longer doing Philly Wednesday night, but I am doing Philly Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, Helium in Philadelphia, you know I'm your dad, and I'm going to be there, and I'm also your mom, and I'm doing one of my favorite clubs, which is your club. So, please come out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, only Helium in Philadelphia. That is that. And then next week, I'm going to the great city of Denver. Denver Mom Velado, as you put it.
I'm going to come keep you company.
You're keeping me company. Comedy Works in downtown. I'm doing the downtown club, not the South Club. Downtown club is my favorite. And I am also there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You'll be doing shows there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night.
In Denver.
But not Sunday night.
That's right. We're flying back Sunday.
Okay.
And I'm bringing, not only am I bringing you to keep me company, but Big Earn, a.k.a. Andy Erickson, is coming to do the shows with me. How exciting is that?
Big Earn. Yeah. By the way, I don't hope I'm not spoiling anything, but our friend Ann Tullock, I don't know how to say her last name, in Denver, DM'd me to see what your size was. So you might have something cool being made for you from the mommies.
Oh, that is exciting. So, yeah. But these are two of the best comedy clubs in the country, and I'm very excited to be doing Denver and Philly these 2 weeks. What?
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm just looking at our new portrait.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Oh my life.
Let's not spoil that yet.
No, let's not. Let's just stick to business.
For our international Asian jeans, I'm also going to be in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Macau. I'm there the week September 8th through the 14th. So, you know, if you're around.
It's a city connection right there.
Yeah, just come see me, Jeans Connection. And that's that. We're going to take you right into the next month. September, Jeans and I are doing one show only in South Florida, and it's September 18th at the Fort Lauderdale Improv.
I don't know where that is.
Oh, where? Shit. Fart Lauderdale.
Yeah, okay.
Fart Lauderdale Improv in Fart Lauderdale. Actually, Hollywood, Florida, but we call it the Fart Lauderdale Improv.
Well, you're not very immature.
It's part of the Seaman Hole Hard Rock Casino.
Okay.
And then a week later, I'm in Orlando at the
Mom Lando
Improv. But here's what's important to the rest of you with your tits hanging all low and stuff.
Oh.
There's only one South Florida show for the whole year. It's one stand-up show. It's one night only. It's Thursday, September 18th. I also just added Minneapolis for October, and I added Phoenix for December, full weeks at clubs. Okay, Jeans, what's up?
I don't have anything. You know, I'm staying here in LA working on stuff, but I want to plug the 18th date. I'm going to be at the Fart Lauderdale Improv.
That's right. Is that it?
Let me just think. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't go out until like October again, so...
Okay. Oh, can I do this real quick?
Yeah.
Farts.
It's your show.
I told some of you this, and some of you have gotten it, but I'm very, very excited that there are hard copies of Completely Normal. I know a lot of you saw it on Netflix, and you're like, I have it on Netflix. But for the non-Netflix people, you can buy the hard copy, and the first, I don't know, I think it's 100 are autographed, and I think there's still some left. So if you want that, please go to the site, either TomSegura.com or your mom's house podcast.com, and click and order the hard copy of Completely Normal. And also on the site, on our site, your mom's house podcast, we added some more clips. So people have really enjoyed watching the source of some of the audio clips we play, and they're all there on the site.
Yeah, and guys, don't ask me to put up the pornography stuff, okay? It's inappropriate. Yeah.
We're not putting up. There's
my cunt.
Yeah, or like just stick it in there and quit debating. It's not going on the site. Or black salami. Black salami is not appropriate for our site. You can't ask me to take fucking black salami and put it on the site. It's rude.
You want to see some big black lazy dick? Well, I'm gonna show you some dick.
That's not going on the site.
You know, because we don't need to offend the children. Sometimes children love our site. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And no, we don't need to horrify people.
Yeah, that German nipple is enough.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
Some guy wrote to us, he said, my girlfriend gets really upset by that video.
Really?
Yeah. I got an email.
Why is she upset by it?
She hates it the most.
Why?
The most.
How could you? That guy is so passionate about what he likes.
I know.
That's kind of like there's no point to, why would you be upset about that? I don't understand people.
I don't understand either, but.
Fucking fart on these fucking Swiss cakes. Eat them.
Eat them.
On Swiss cakes? There's a.
Oh, I wonder if Tosh.0 is going to play that soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, I said I threw down that gauntlet, Tosh.0. King Ass Ripper, good luck.
If they could find him, I'd be really impressed.
So would I. You know, he's got the power of TV behind him.
By the way, he hasn't quit producing content. We're all over the place on this episode, but he hasn't quit producing content.
Well, we'll get into that maybe after the theme song. I'll make a note of it. Mamazon.
Please. Look, it's a huge help to us if you go to your momshousepodcast.com and you shop through our Amazon banner. We know that a lot of podcasts ask their listeners to do this, and we know you listen to a lot of podcasts, and you have your choice. But when you do it for us, you're helping out your mothers, and you're helping us do this show. We put out 2 episodes every week as often as we can. I think we've only missed once, and we're going to try to stay strong with it even with our leaving town. So please help us, and all we're asking you to do is click on that Amazon banner and do whatever you were going to buy, just do it through that banner, and it helps us out.
You know what I just bought on Amazon?
What?
Dog food.
Really?
Do you know you can buy pet things? You can buy jewelry. I bought a necklace there.
I bought that Olo clip thing for my iPhone, the little lens.
That's cool as shit.
Through Mamazon.
Yeah, your electronics get on Mamazon through our banner.
That's the biggest one. Like, if you guys are ever going to buy a camera, a laptop, a printer, speakers, anything.
Barbells.
No, I'm saying electronics.
I know.
That is huge for us. Obviously, it's it's a bigger kickback, and it really helps us out. So just know that we appreciate it, and we recognize that your genes are high.
Also, and if some of you are having problems seeing the banner on the homepage of your momshousepodcast.com, the reason might be that you have a ad blocker on, your ad blocker. So take that shit off, son.
You don't even know about it. You don't even know about it.
Okay.
All right. You ready to do this?
Ad blocker's the worst.
Ad blocker is the worst.
Ready.
Let's do it.
Details for back to school. Denim, haircut, backpacks, backpacks. Come get your backpack.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
New shoes.
Get yourself an outfit.
Denim.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
Haircut. New shoes. So get yourself back to school with these tails. Haircut.
This shit is big time.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother into this.
Your mom in the fucking stand.
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura,
and Christina Pajitsky.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Whoa! Wow!
Never used drumsticks.
Highlighters. Okay. Work, push, go. You got this. Yours. Yours. Affirmations. positive. You're the best drum player in the world.
Thank you. I've been playing drums for 26 years.
Your jeans are the highest. Your beard is the fullest. Your hair is the fullest.
Thank you so much.
Your boobs are the biggest. Your jeans are
the highest.
Haircut.
You like that?
What is that?
The worst commercial of all time.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But she does. The only upside is they do plug denim twice.
Yeah, they're clearly fans.
Oh, of course they're fans. Of course they're fans. It's that's a commercial for a mall. And what they did was they're in front of, I think, a green screen. They have a microphone. They have a guy who's fucking doing his horrific beat.
Yeah,
beatbox.
That's the amateur hour.
And then they hold up items and just say what they are. Haircuts, boots and pants. And then she goes, denim, which was, I guess, again, the positive part. But it's the worst commercial I've ever seen. It really is so bad. You've not seen this?
East Hills, back to school.
Just saying what it is. Go back to school shopping. Yeah. Get your back to school shopping.
This reminds me of every musical ever and why I don't like musicals.
Yeah.
This is why I can't even fucking stomach like Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff. It's the same thing. You're pulling up your pants and you're walking across the street.
Saying what's going on.
Across the street. Yeah.
Yeah. You're saying exactly what's going on. And it's the equivalent of like a place going like, there's different things you can get at our restaurant. You can get something to drink and you can get stuff to eat. What's on the menu? There's different foods.
Appetizers. Let's list them.
Salads with have carrots in them. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing right now?
It's like if you ever listened, remember when we were kids and you'd make up songs?
Yeah.
And you just sing about whatever was around you.
Yeah.
Like I'd be all, oh, my tree, you're so pretty, the tree, I love my tree, my dog.
But you know there's an excuse for that.
Cats, because I was a retarded child.
You're a child. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I was a retard.
Don't say the R word, please. You know how I feel about that.
Denim, haircut,
backpacks, backpacks, come get your backpack.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
New shoes.
Get yourself an outfit.
Denim.
Get yourself an outfit. That was the saddest one. Why the beatbox? Why?
It's a white person doing beatbox. You can tell.
Of course it is.
They have as much rhythm as I do. That's how I do beatbox.
I feel like that girl's going to go, get yourself an outfit.
Get yourself an outfit.
Denim.
You know, boots and pants and boots and pants.
Haircut.
New shoes.
She's not committing to it when she's like, get yourself an outfit.
You should see the haircut on the person telling you to get a haircut.
Hippie?
No.
Long-haired?
Just bad.
Yeah.
Just somebody who you might, your first thought might be, that person should get a haircut.
So get yourself back to school with these tails.
Haircut.
All right.
Yeah, we got it.
God. That was back to school day yesterday for children. They went back to school. Remember that, though? Dude, first day back to school.
Wait, yesterday's first day back?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Remember, like, you come back from summer times and, like, everybody had grown. Like, you grow, like, 10 feet a summer when you're a kid for some reason.
10 feet, yeah.
You come back and you're like, look at Tom Segura. He's, you know, 7'10".
Mm-hmm.
And your beard probably came in by fifth grade. When did you get this beard?
No, I mean, I started shaving in seventh grade, but that was like, that was the head, like the thing,
the Puerto Rican.
Yeah. The Puerto Rican stash was coming in and then the hair on the sideburns was starting to grow. So, but that wasn't, you know, that's not daily shaving. I needed the daily shave by the time I was like a junior in high school.
I bet. Mm-hmm. Your eyes. You shaved your
eyes out of my face.
There's nothing grosser to me than prepubescent boys' facial hair.
It's horrible.
It's so gross. It just looks like masturbation.
The only thing worse than that is an adult man who has that hair still on his face.
Yeah.
Some guys can't grow a beard.
Yeah, then you just shouldn't, right? Like if you
if you can't, don't do it.
Just shave.
I know. I have some friends that are really like mad about it, and they feel like they, it's like one of their big points of contention is that they don't get to grow beards.
No,
because they get like patches. They have like
patchy fur.
Patchy fur. Yeah.
You could sell people your beard trimmings and they could make a beard
out
of it.
It's really full right now.
It's so full.
So full.
And I like the silver dogs in there. I like the pepperers. I really like the different colors. I think it's cute. Now, your sister is not a fan.
Oh, I posted a picture. I haven't even mentioned on the show, but I posted a picture that I, when I met Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And then you sent it to her.
Yeah.
And her first thing was how excited she was that I met Mike Tyson. And then she called me the next day and she was like, honestly, you seriously, you have to dye your beard.
This is Jane, not Maria.
This is Jane, not Maria. She's like, you really, Tommy, you have to. And I go, I don't want to. And she goes, it's really bad. Like, you look really, really, really bad. Like, that's how she talks. And I was like, but I feel okay. And she was like, it looks terrible.
I think it looks really distinguished.
Damn. This is Jane.
Oh my God, seriously?
That's Jane.
You look very distinguished. You look like, you know when like the older gorillas have silver chest hair and silver fur?
Yeah.
You're like the older gorilla in the pack.
I'll just say this. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't bother me. It
doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I mean.
When are your pubes going to turn gray?
I don't know. They haven't started. I have some gray chest hairs.
Yeah.
But again, it's just like a little bit. That also doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me. I like it. I prefer that.
Oh my God, you guys are so disgusting.
Now, remember back to school times when Fief was here? Do you know Fief caught a fly when you were in here?
What?
So there was a flea flu and he was like biting it and he caught it and he ate it.
Really?
Yeah. Gross. Dogs are so gross. But I remember like back to school times when you were a kid and then you'd go back to school clothes shopping. And your mom wouldn't let you get brand name shoes, so you'd have to go to Payless and get like the whack Payless shoes.
Yeah.
That's not true. You guys had brand name. I bet you guys had Reeboks, like real high top Reeboks, huh?
No, well, it varied. Like, I remember not having, or it all depends on your age. And then don't forget I was playing sports. So like it starts to matter more because you're playing sports to have the cool. Like I don't remember having stylish cool kicks for like going to school. I just remember like, hey, I'm playing basketball right now. I need to get a good pair of basketball shoes. Mm-hmm. And then you would go for like, I never had Jordans, but I'd try to get like nice, like Nikes or Reebok.
Yeah. Well, I know just growing up in LA, like I felt the pressure to dress cool from like second or third grade on. Cause like people just had cooler stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My mom never got me. She would always insist on buying me like sweat outfits, like sweatpants and sweatshirts.
Well, she's dressing you like a fucking, like a commie fucking drug dealer that came over. She's dressing you like what she
Come
knew.
Come on, motherfuckers. Yeah. I want to win this spelling.
Would she buy you tracksuits?
That's what I'm telling you.
It's so crazy.
It is, but and now looking back, it is. But back then, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
She's dressing me, yeah, like a fucking Armenian drug dealer.
Hilarious.
I'm like, I want to win spelling bee.
Was she like, it looks good? You look cool.
Timetables. I learned timetables.
Old timetables.
I didn't know. I thought every kid was going to come rocking a cool tracksuit, and then it was just me.
You go fourth grade, you go fifth grade, you wear Adidas tracksuit.
It wasn't even Adidas, dude. I got like, I don't know what fucking whack-ass brand.
You wear knockoff Adidas.
Yeah, it's so ghetto, dude.
You look good with this tracksuit.
You look. This is good look for a woman, especially for little girls. Little girls love tracksuits.
Little girls go hand in hand with tracksuits.
Yes, Krisika, you're going to love this. She used to get me different colored tracksuits, but I got to pick the color. So like, I would have like a light, like a pink one, a turquoise one. Like really? And I remember at the time.
What grade is this,
dude? This is like. Shit, man. Fourth, fifth grade.
I've never known this before, and all the time I've known you, this is a total revelation. Mm. This is a big moment. This is the time you're telling me that you, my spouse, wore fucking tracksuits to third and fourth grade?
Third grade, I lived with my dad, so I dressed like Madonna. Like I would wear tube skirts and ear crazy earrings and
lace fucking gloves
and gloves and press on nails.
And he was like, do whatever.
And he was like, that's okay. It looks good. Look cool. And then the teachers would call home and be like, your daughter's dressed like Madonna. And he's like, yeah, so? Like, it didn't even occur to him that that was odd. He just wanted to let me have fun because my mom was such a douchebag.
Right.
But then at her house, it was all utility. It was function over form. So, like, the sweatsuit was, like, the perfect utility for a kid.
Right.
Right? Like, you put a different one on every day. Like, yeah. So I had one for, like, every day of the week. Tracksuit. It's
hilarious.
Yeah. It was useful.
Not what little girls
but it's
wear.
Not what I wanted dresses. And she's like, dress is so stupid. Dress is stupid. Why do you want to wear a dress? Wear a nice tracksuit.
Tracksuit, you look cool and you can put knife, you can keep knife inside jacket.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's such a bananas outfit to wear.
Yeah, you could carry your knife and your drugs in the pockets.
Definitely never saw another little girl in a tracksuit.
Of course not. But it kind of made me a fucking gangster, right?
That's I guess so. I guess so.
It made me hard like a thug. I'm a criminal, son.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then but by sixth grade, I wised up and I was like, I'm not wearing this whack shit anymore, okay? And then I'd make them buy me cooler stuff. Like, you know what I love, dude? Fucking, what are those pants? What are they called? Those beige pants with pockets on them, like fatigue pants? No.
Camos?
Like- no, dude, not camo, but they were like, shit, come on. Now they're big in the 80s. What are these fuckers
cargo pants?
Yes, dude.
That's what you wanted?
Oh,
I remember wanting cargo stuff.
So cool.
All those pockets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like boys one, like the girl version.
Oh.
I was like punk. I like that.
If you're a dude now with cargo shorts, you're a big old asshole, though. That's like considered a very...
Well, it makes your dick look weird.
What?
They're like dick shorts.
Cargo shorts?
Yeah, because no, like not. Those big pockets on the thighs, it bunches at the crotch.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I always look at guys' crotches and those.
You're so fucking, you're such a dirt dog. You're a pervert and a dirt dog.
What was your favorite outfit as a child?
Can we just talk about how that's not true?
What?
That you're just so in tune with dicks that you're like, it's true.
No, it's true. Camouflage pants. Okay, not fatigue pants. What do they call them?
Cargos?
Cargo
they
shorts.
Have nothing to do with dick stuff.
They got big pockets on the thighs, right? And what that does is it makes the fabric in between your legs bunch up. And then I always notice the fabric bunches around the dick. And like, they're like dick short. Like, look at G.I. Joe. Okay. Like, remember G.I. Joe? He wore, I just remember like the way they drew the character, his dick would show more. No,
okay.
It's true. Why don't you believe? Don't invalidate this thought. Just trust me.
No, I'm not going to trust you. And I know that you're wrong. You're just wrong.
The Dick Detectives.
I'm going to go out and I want our listeners to weigh in on this. You can go ahead and you can be the decider. yourmomspodcast@gmail.com. In the subject line, put cargo shorts. Do cargo shorts have an effect on the appearance of one's bulge,
yes,
cock, and or balls? I say not a chance. I've worn cargo shorts, although I proudly no longer own a pair. I've worn multiple colors, shades of them. No impact whatsoever on the dick. Christina is voting and saying that cargo shorts have a huge impact on dicks. Maybe it's that guys with wearing cargo shorts just have that different dick swag. And then that's what you're seeing. But that's your vote. You're saying it has a big impact on it.
Yeah. For some reason, I've always noticed that it bunches up around the male crotch area and I see the bulge more.
Ridiculous.
The Dick Detectives.
Tom, remember that girl? Remember that girl we saw in the parking lot yesterday?
With her pussy out?
Yeah.
No, which one?
No, she had those short shorts on, like those cut off Daisy Duke shorts with her pussy out. But then her fucking hooshie was hanging out over her
She had her hooshie out, yeah. She had a little belly. Like, there's girls that don't give a fuck ever. And you see that more with women than with men.
Yeah, I love it.
Guys will be like, you know what? I have a big belly or I have whatever. And they cover it up. Girls are like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to show off this regular body.
Yeah.
She was like, her stomach meat was hanging over it.
So much.
Her meat.
So much.
Her tummy meat.
So we could say now that it's all over. Funniest wins.
Yes, yes. Sydney won.
Sydney won. Congrats.
For those you don't know.
Congrats, Sydney Castillo, who went 0 for 10, won funniest wins. Congrats to Sydney Castillo.
I know. We have to have him back to redeem himself.
There's no coming back from that, man.
Do you think?
No, no. We can have him back, but we'll never play Tom or Black again. It's over.
Really?
Yeah, no, no, no.
Never play Tom or Black again.
Not with him.
Glad that he won. He was so good. He was so funny. He really was great.
Sydney has good energy. He's a good dude.
Yeah,
you can sense it when you're around him.
Yeah, he's a good person and he's funny, which is like super rare, I think.
I'm very happy for
him. And yes, you did have to be black to win.
I saw a lot of that. It was really for people that don't know, on the first episode when like Marlon's introducing the show and like, hey, you're all going to be competing, Christina raises her hand on episode one and goes, do you have to be black to win this?
Because there's so many black people on the show. And he was talking
all black. Yeah. And of course, like it got a lot. People were laughing, and they isolated it and sent us the tracks of it. And then when this episode aired, I was tagged in a bunch of them tweets. People were like, "I guess you did have to be black."
That's funny.
That was really great.
Well, you know, in Sydney's defense, yes, he's black, and he's super super funny. So not just black; you have to be black and funny.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's what you said to somebody. Yeah,
yes. So good for him. Very good. He's $100,000 richer, so we should definitely invite him back.
Yeah, he can buy his fucking dinner or something, right?
No shit. Also, I'm looking at this. Do you want to explain this?
Yes. So
so good.
I was in Columbus, Ohio this weekend. Can I just give shout out to Columbus, Ohio?
C-Bus.
What the fuck, man?
Cray cray, huh?
It was amazing. Like the people, you came out, you supported her jeans. I had the best time.
Oh,
I mean, I brought Jeff Tate, who is a fucking headliner, and he featured, and it was an amazing show to be on. Jeff is a great comic, and you guys supported. So thank you to everybody that came out. I will definitely be back at the Columbus Funny Bone. As a matter of fact, I got the offer to go back. They offered me today to go back for next year. So
okay, Tom Segura.
I already accepted, and I will be back in Columbus.
And before I forget, thank you to everybody who came out to Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale. We had a lot of mommies come out strong.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. You guys made that week worthwhile.
Yeah, so...
And I never found out what the T stood for.
You didn't even ask?
I did ask, and then it was never revealed to me.
Was it like it's a secret, like Illuminati shit?
Yeah.
Really?
Let's just say Rooster knows, but he ain't telling.
Whoa. Yeah. I know what you mean by that.
Yeah.
God. I don't even know what to say about that. That is just...
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
So, peep this. I'm in Columbus after one of the shows, and this nice couple comes up to me, and you know we get things all the time. People are so sweet to us. They give us doggy denim. They give us...
Yes, I got a shirt for Theo.
See,
it's 24/7
bottles of wine. We get bottles of wine. We get
weed.
We get cheese. We get all kinds of wonderful things. Pickles, posters. This lovely couple gave me a frame. Now the frame is it's a regular picture frame, but instead of being able to see the wood of the frame, it's all denim. It's a denim frame. And within the frame, hand drawn, it's like Sopranos. And instead of the Sopranos though, it's you and me and FIFO. You are Polly Walnuts.
Because I got the stripes in my hair.
She drew you amazing.
It's so good.
And
it's so good.
She told me she fucked up my face. Aww. So she used a cutout of a photo and put it over there, but it still looks great.
Looks great.
And I'm Anthony. I mean,
you're
I'm
Christopher
I'm
Maltasani.
Christopher. Not the dog.
He killed the dog.
And then Tony Soprano is Theo. And the expression on his face.
Oh my God.
Especially like with his his hands in his pockets. It just looks so crazy. And then it says there's no such thing as Wednesday. And I put it on my Instagram, which is Segura Tom, if you want to see it.
I put it on mine too. Okay. Christina Piazzi.
And it was made by Casey Ochoa.
Thank you, Casey.
Casey, it's just amazing work. Thank you so,
so
much.
So good.
So much.
I think what I like the most is when people spend a lot of time on ridiculous things. Nothing makes
this
my heart
This is real.
Sing.
They put time into this.
Oh, I know. It's so good. It's like a really good pencil drawing.
Yeah. It's amazing. Here.
And look at Fifo's eyes. He's got like the craziest. He's got like droopy.
Yeah. And he looks like, you know what he looks like? I'm all business. I'm all business
he
here.
James Gandolfini.
And it says there's no such thing as Wednesday. Oh, God. That is just, you can't beat that. That is the,
no,
everything about that so is good. Just, there's, it's amazing.
There's no such thing as Wednesday.
Now that, if you don't know, if you haven't heard that, is Tony Hinchcliffe's mom, Joy Hinchcliffe. She used to, how do we say this delicately?
Run numbers.
There you go.
Yep.
And we did an interview with her, if you want to go back and find that.
Fuck, those are some of the best ever. And she told us that, like...
She's crazy.
I talked to her about, like, you know, people... Basically, they're playing the lotto with a bookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, about collecting. And I said, how did it work? And, you know, she said, money's always due on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. And I said... So I did, a role play with her.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, yeah, Joy. And she's like, yep. And I go, like, so, yep. You know, if I'll have it in like a couple days. And she was like, no, you got to pay me Tuesday. And I said, well, I can't pay you Tuesday, but I, you know, I could pay you Wednesday.
There's no such thing as Wednesday.
And that's what she said. There's no such thing as Wednesday. She said, find it, borrow it, steal it. I don't know what you got to do, but get me that fucking money.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
And do you remember when she... employed the use of silence.
It was a lesson. If you go back and listen to those, the thing about silence too is that it has power in different types of situations. One of the things where it has a lot of power is in comedy. You know, a lot of comedians are scared of silence.
Yeah.
So it's like a moment of silence to them is absolute panic. So it's just talk, and it's like 100 miles an hour. But if you use silence the right way, you actually suck people in more.
Yes, because they lean in. They want to hear what you have to say as opposed to you chasing them.
And it also, you know, especially when you're doing longer sets, you know, there's a natural wave that happens. So when that silence comes,
yeah,
it gives you room for another explosion.
For something
they
big.
Can't explode if they're already riding that high, you
explode.
Know? Yeah, so it's pretty...
And I was reading this...
But with fear, it's really leaving. It's amazing.
It's great. And also in negotiations, like for money.
Yeah.
I was reading this. You know, I read every fucking dumb motivational book and how to make money. And
yeah,
there's this guy, Ramit Sethi, I think his name is, this Indian kid who writes books on like how to be a millionaire. And stuff.
Yeah.
And he said during negotiations, that's a real powerful tool is silence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. When you're trying to get money out of somebody, you just don't answer and see what they do. They'll come up with something to fill the space.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's smart,
God,
man.
Silence.
God yeah.
It's, damn it.
It's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty. At least. Quite an impact.
Guys, also the video of Tom playing our opening theme is up on the website.
What did you put it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, it is.
And then it's also on Your Mom's House podcast on the clips page. If you want to see what I see every time we start the show, it's up. And he's such a good conductor, you guys.
I mean, maybe we'll do different ones because that's just one version of what I do.
That is one version. And today you picked up highlighters and stuff and you really incorporated that.
Yeah. So you want to hear about meeting Mike Tyson?
Oh my God. I can't believe we haven't even told the story yet.
I know. I can't believe it just occurred to me that we haven't talked about it. So I'm on a flight out Wednesday to go to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I make that point because it's a day early. And for people that don't know the comedy business, sometimes, especially because we're West Coast acts, they'll try to get us to come in a day early. One reason is so that you're there, they know you're there, but also so you can do press the next morning. And it's one of the big bummers for us. We hate going a day early. Like, because a day of your life you have to give up just to fly. We like to go day of,
yeah. Man.
So it's a motherfucker. But anyways, Wednesday, I'm going out to Pittsburgh for presumably Thursday morning press. I find out that I don't have Thursday press. I have Friday press. So I'm like, well, why the fuck am I going out then?
Right.
So I'm not that excited. I get on the flight, and right across the aisle, one row back, is Mike Tyson.
That's so crazy.
It is crazy. You know what's crazy?
Mike Tyson.
How people react.
Yeah, I bet.
People are boarding the plane, and it takes an extra 40 minutes to board the plane.
Jesus.
Like, an extra 40 minutes. Because everybody boarding the plane notices him. And the crazy thing is what type of appeal he has to the general public. He literally appeals to, like, the full demo. Like, it's kind of cool to watch. Because if you watch, it's like old white ladies, 20-year-old black guy, 50-year-old Asian guy, 45-year-old white guy, 10-year-old, little girl, white girl. Like, it's every race, every age group, every religion. They're all stopping. Some of them are giving him a fist bump. Some of them are shaking his hands. Some of them are giving him thumbs up.
And I'm assuming he's sitting in first class.
Yes.
And everyone, so they board first class first. So he's seated.
And they all get to walk by.
Everybody has to walk by.
And I got
to
point this out. I got to say it because I think it's important because people are always tearing down, you know, the people. Oh, you know, and this person didn't acknowledge me and didn't. He's gracious to everybody.
That's cool.
Shakes people's hands. Hi, how are you? Gives a thumbs up to the people that do that to him. People are like, it's a great thing. He's like, thank you. A pleasure to meet. Like, he's nice to everybody.
Aww, that's so nice to hear, isn't it?
It is.
When you're a hero. And he's a hero to so many
people. To a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we're on the flight and I'm watching this. And I'm watching like guys older, like probably one guy that's 40, one guy that's 70 are in his row, but across the aisle. And they are fucking really going hard on him. Like they're like, Mike, yeah, if you go to the bathroom, I'd like to wipe for you if you don't mind. And like, they're really laying it on, you know.
If you have a fart, I'd like to smell
it. Could you cup any of your farts and throw them over here? Because I'd really like to see what they smell like.
Nerds.
Yeah, hardcore nerd now.
Nerds.
I notice him. And it's one of those things where I do make eye contact a few times. One time, like, I turn and I make eye contact. A couple times, like, when he goes to the bathroom and comes back, it's really, like, weird. Like, he would walk back and look and then go. And, like, you could, like, you feel it inside you.
The fear of the Mike Tyson's like, going to kill you. Yeah.
It's not that, it's just that, like, it's one that stands out. Like, because he's walking down the aisle and then he goes, and you're like, fuck. Like, it's like a... It's almost like when you see a tiger and you're like, woof.
Right. Oh my god. Yeah. He's enormous. Yeah.
There's obviously something about him, you know, that you can't really put into words. But anyways, he's sitting there. I have not said shit to him. There's less than an hour in the flight to go. So we left at like 4 p.m. It's 11:30 at night now. And we're in the Eastern time zone. And I go, should I say something? And then I finally go, you know what? I should say something because like, he's iconic, and, you know, I used to fucking nerd out to him when I was a kid, and he's right here now. So I get up, and I say, I don't want to bother you, but I'm a big fan. I just wanted to tell you. And he shakes my hand, and he grabs it, like, with both hands.
Aww.
And I go, and he goes, thank you.
No, he goes, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, he goes, thank you, Tom. He said, thank you. And I said, what are you going to Pittsburgh for? And he said, I'm promoting a fight. And I go, promoting a fight? He's like, yeah, I'm a promoter now. So I promote fights, you know.
Aww.
And I go, oh, that's great, man. And he's like, what about you? And I said, I'm a comedian. I'm going to do shows. And he goes, you're a comedian? And I go, yeah. And he goes, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to the Pittsburgh Improv. And he goes, where's that? And I was like, I have no idea. Like,
it's in the suburbs. Pittsburgh,
right,
somewhere,
like, I don't know,
in a mall.
And he goes, is your show tonight? And I go, no, because it's 11:30 at night right now.
Right.
And we're on a plane. And he goes, when is your show? And I said, it starts tomorrow, and then I have one Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. And then he's talking to like his guy, like, when is our stuff? And they're talking about it, and he was like, maybe we can go tomorrow or something. And I go, really? I would love to have you. And he's like, maybe. And then he goes, where is your show? And I'm like, it's at the Pittsburgh Improv still. And he goes, how do I find it? And I'm like, dude, I have no idea. I go, just Google. I go, Google me. And I reach in my bag and I pull out my DVD. and I give it to him, and I go, this is my name. Just Google this, and then it'll come up, like, where I'm at. And he goes, oh, thank you. And I go, yeah, and if you do come, you know, like, we would be honored to host you. So that's it. I think that's cool, and then I met him, and then I sit back in my seat, and I just kind of waiting there, and then, like, 5 seconds later, I hear, Tom. I'm like, holy shit.
No, wait, where are you sitting in proximity to him?
Across the aisle, one row in front of him.
Okay.
So I turn over my left shoulder, and he's on the across the aisle. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, were you on television recently?
He's saying this across the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, how funny.
I go, and I'm actually thinking, and I go, not recently. He goes, you sure? And I go, yeah. I go, well, I'm on Netflix. And he points and he goes, Netflix is amazing. And I go, yeah, Netflix is great. And he goes, what's your favorite show on Netflix? And I go, are we doing this right now? Like, seriously?
Wait, he's talking across the plane
yes,
to you? And
yes.
He's asking all these questions?
Yes.
Oh, that is so funny. I had no idea.
Yes.
That's how, it's so
ridiculous.
He's like,
what's your favorite show on Netflix?
You're like, House of Cards.
Yeah, that's exactly what
Season
I said.
Season 2.
I go, I love House of Cards. And I go, I'm trying to think, you know, you feel pressure to.
And then you can never think of what you like under the gun.
Yeah,
it sucks.
You can't.
I know.
And I also lied. So he goes, I said, House of Cards. And I go, I watched all of Breaking Bad. And the reason I said it is I did love Breaking and I did watch it. We watched it together. But I also realized that I said it because I thought he'll like this. Because I want to say the thing that he gives approval to.
Right.
You know, especially because he's Mike Tyson.
He's Mike motherfucking Tyson. You want to be his best friend for life.
I go, I watch Breaking Bad. And he goes, my wife likes Breaking Bad. Like, disappointed. Like, you like shit my wife likes.
Oh, excuse me. Like, yeah. Because it's a girly show,
yeah,
Breaking
exactly.
Bad?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I go, like, fuck. He goes, do you like Sons of Anarchy? And I go, here's the truth. I've never seen it.
No, me neither.
But I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, that's my shit, like that. He loves Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
So he gives me he reaches out and gives me a fist bump on that. Mm. I turn around and then I go, like, that was cool. I had like a little conversation. And then like 5 seconds later, I feel a tap on my shoulder and I look up and Mike Tyson is standing above me. And I'm like, oh, and I don't know what he's going to, I have no idea what's about to happen. And he leans down and he whispers to me in my ear, like nobody can hear. He goes, I've been watching a lot of Netflix. And that's it. Do you know how terrifying that is? I never thought that sentence could be that.
So funny.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And then he looks at me like pre-fight in the middle of the ring.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't know if he's about to say, like, I recognize who you are. I don't appreciate your material.
You make fun of black people sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's going to say. So I'm like, yeah. And he goes, that's why I recognize you. And I go, what? And he holds up the DVD that I just gave him. It's like he was like looking at it. He must have been looking at it. He goes, this is the picture that's on Netflix, which it is.
Right.
The cover of the hard copy is the same one that pops up on Netflix.
That's the stupid face my dad likes.
The stupid face. And he goes, that's why I recognize you. I've seen you on Netflix. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. He's like, yeah, what's your phone number? And I go, what the fuck? And so I give him my phone number. And then, like, we land and he gives me, like, a beat on the chest, like, appreciate you. I think it's over. I'm like, that's cool. Like, they're not coming to my fucking show. And then the next day, you know, I mean, that night, I think I called Justin. And I was like, dude, I fucking ran into Mike Tyson on a plane. Next day, I get a text message from him. And you know what it says? Where's your show?
So he still doesn't know.
I write back to Pittsburgh Improv. And of course, he writes back, where's that?
Aww.
So I Google it. I send it to him. I find the address. The phone rings. And it's, hey, Tom. I'm like, what the fuck? And I go, what's up, champ?
Sup, champ?
And he goes, I'm coming to your show tonight, brother.
Oh, my God.
And I go, oh, shit. I go, that's fucking amazing. He goes, we're going to watch you do your work. And I go, I'm honored. And he goes, it's all love.
Aww.
And I know what he means by that. But, like, I'm also, like, I'm trying to think on the spot. And I feel pressure because it's like, you know, it's Mike Tyson.
Right.
And I know the expression, it's all love, but it's not something that, I don't know how to say it back. So I, in like my pressured moment, I just go, I love you. And it's just, there's silence on the phone.
Yeah.
And then he goes, good luck at your show. And he hangs up the phone. And then I go, I think I fucked that up.
Yeah.
I just told Mike Tyson I love him on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go to the show. Mike Tyson's at the show.
That's so crazy.
Then when I'm, they seat him out of my sight, my eye line.
Oh, no.
No, it's fine.
I don't like that. I like to know where people are sitting if they're coming to see me.
Well, I do know where he's sitting.
Oh, okay.
But like, I can't see him because it's like, there's no
right.
light.
Oh, okay.
But I figure that he's going to leave. I figure as a celebrity, especially at his level, that what he'll do is like, he came and then he'll leave before it's over. And then they'll send me a text like, we really enjoyed, like, funny stuff. It was good seeing you. I finished the show. I walk to the back. He's sitting right there. He gets up and leans his head down and is like, thank you for having me. And I go, I go, thank you for coming. He goes, you're a trip, man. You're a trip. Mm. And then I go, yeah. And I figure like now they're on their way out. He goes, let's go to the green room.
You're like, awesome.
I go like, what? He leads me to the green room. And then he goes, now we in Tom's room. This is Tom's castle right now. That's what he said. Aww. When we went there. And he goes, this is it, huh? And he knew all, I mean, it was funny. He knew so much about, he's probably been in 1,000 green rooms. He's like, there's a window in here? I go, no. He's like, yeah, windows is like when you made it. When you really made it, you got a window in your green room. You're the fucking man if you got a window in your green room. He knew that shit so down. And we just hung out and we talked about fights and just life and just bullshitted. Mike Tyson and his like little crew, his entourage. And then of course, like finally one of the staff came, the managers was like, hey, like everybody's gone now. So I go, okay. So we walk out of the green room into the showroom, and he meant all the audience had left, but you know where the staff was?
Mm-hmm.
Lined up at the green room door.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, you guys want to take a picture with me? Okay, just line up. And there, everybody was like, could you please move? And of course, and Mike graciously took photos with everybody.
That's so nice that he's like that. I would never. I would probably be so annoyed if I were him with people.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, that's really cool.
He's really cool, man. It was, you know, it's one of those things I don't know if I'll ever run into him or those guys again, but it's one of those things that'll stay with me for the rest of my life is the time I was on a plane.
It's so crazy.
And the former heavyweight champion of the world, I started talking to him and then he came to my show the next day after he fucking called me.
So crazy, dude.
Yeah, it really blew my mind.
And it's such a testament to the power of like the internet. It's
yeah.
so crazy he knew who you were based on like Netflix.
Netflix.
What a wonderful.
I know.
It's so crazy.
And I was there today and I didn't even get to tell them that story.
Aww.
I wanted to, but it was like in a rush. I was at Netflix and I was all excited to tell them the story, but everybody was like scattered and rushed.
Oh. Well, we love your story. We heard your story and we like it. We approve of you.
Thank you.
I like your story.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my.
What?
I was going to say we should invite him over for like barbecue, Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Next time you talk to him, just say we barbecue and I would love to have you over. That's all I'm saying.
I'll mention it to him.
Okay. But go ahead.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Seriously? 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 Oh my God.
You take your fucking scissors.
Oh my God.
Use your pudgy fucking monkey hand.
Seriously?
Cut the box open, cut a hole in it, and pour it in the goddamn bottle.
Oh my God. Seriously?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. What's happening?
She's fired up about some shit.
Maria's.
It's really weird, huh?
Yeah, Maria's not really like that. She's always meditating.
Calm.
Zen.
I got a text message from her a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Said, like, I have to tell you this fucking story about what happened to me. And when I saw it, like, I got that, like, excitement of, like, oh, like, if she's telling me, call me. I got a call because she's saying, like, I'm pissed off about something.
Right.
I almost wish I had been home so I could have called from here sooner. What I did was on purpose I didn't call her for a couple days because I knew I wouldn't be able to record it.
Oh,
so that's why.
Smart.
I called her today. I was like, oh, I'm sorry I haven't been able to talk to you. But since she texted me, like, you got to hear the story that I called her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the story that I need to hear?
Okay, so we went, you know, we had a half marathon on Saturday. So we went up with another.
She's what? Okay. Louis Farrakhan on Saturday?
Should we start playing What the Hell Did Maria Say?
What the fuck is she saying?
Yeah, I picked up on the fact that people wouldn't understand it, so I repeat it.
Okay.
A half marathon?
And so we went, yeah, a half marathon was up in the vineyard. So it's like this hill, nothing but 13 miles.
Hold on. After dinner, she ran a half marathon? After dinner.
You'd be 0 for 2 right now.
What?
It's up in the vineyards. It was in these hills.
I've never. If you hadn't translated, I have no fucking idea what
I don't think
about.
Anybody does, but that's Maria.
I've never run one, let alone 13 miles of hills. So we went up with another couple, and we were going out to dinner Friday night. Like, we decided to go early because, you know, when they sleep and poop before we run.
I'm sorry. You have to sleep and poop before you run.
Right.
Gotcha.
So she wanted to have dinner early so she could poop before she runs.
Which
the
is
next
smart.
Day. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't poop at 7:30. I don't eat dinner at 8. And I'll just go at like 6:30 so I can make sure I shit before I run. Early enough in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you shit before you run?
Yeah. I want to poop in the hotel before I start running.
Oh, right.
So I always poop at 7:30 and the race starts at 7:30.
Gotcha.
So I need to schedule my dinner early enough so I can shit beforehand. So I'm like, let's go at 6:30. So we all get to this restaurant at 6:30. And we sit down and 10 minutes go by and we haven't even gotten like a glass of water or nothing.
Are you following so far?
They sit down, they haven't gotten a glass of water or nothing.
Yeah, 6:30 they sit down.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I ask like a hostess person. And the guy comes down and he's complete like a complete, but just gives like a airhead, like, hey, sir, for him, I'm so sorry. Like a Mexican version of him.
Oh. A masquerade ball is Zerman.
So the guy's an airhead, like surfer dude.
Right.
But he's Mexican too.
I did not hear that at all.
Yeah.
I heard a masquerade ball.
Yeah, he's Mexican.
He's Mexican and a surfer. Airhead.
And an airhead. In Michigan. Okay?
Jesus Christ.
He surfs a lot.
Yeah.
He's Mexican? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Mexican. Like, I'm total Mexican, okay. But airhead. Just completely space cadet, working in an Indian restaurant of all places.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, voted like the top 5 Indian restaurants in Mexico.
Hold on. Let me ask you something. If you're going to run a half marathon... and you're going to want to wake up at 6:30 in the morning. Is Indian food the food you eat before you run a marathon? Is that really a good, wise decision?
Yeah.
You're eating Indian food, which is guaranteed diarrhea.
I feel like it's a smart decision. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing to do.
Okay.
That or Mexican, one of the two.
Yeah.
So first of all, we have this like airhead Mexican working there.
Okay.
Anyways, we go in, we're like, can we just put in a drink order, an appetizer order, and then we'll order after. Wait a second. Weston BB's broken. He's there. Go get the truck.
Huh? Go get the truck? Weston's
so
driving the truck?
We put in the appetizer, and like 20 minutes later, the appetizer comes back. And I'm like, I ask the guy what's in the sauce. I'm like, I just want to make sure there's no dairy. And he's like, no, it's, you know, I think they put like spices and a bunch of stuff in there.
You gotta say what's going on there?
He's putting in spices and a bunch of stuff. Come on.
No. Look at me.
Come on.
What are you doing?
I'm checking on something.
Why?
It's important for us. Go ahead.
So, she got a sauce.
Yeah.
And she's saying, what's in the sauce? Because she wants to know. Make sure there's no dairy. And the guy goes, no, there's a bunch of stuff in there.
Of course, it's Indian food. Indian food is just a bunch of slop in a pot.
Well, she wants to know specifics.
Good luck.
Can you find out what it is?
They don't even know.
It tastes really good. I just want to make sure it's, you know, all good for me. And if it's no dairy in it, then I'd like to learn how to make it. So he comes back 5 minutes later. Oh, yeah, it's just what I thought. They put, like, vegetables, and then they cook it, and they mix it with stuff. And then they blend it. I'm like, so that's what you have. It's stuff mixed with vegetables and spices. And that's all you have. It says, well, they cook it, and then but then it's not cold. Then it,
the guy literally tells her that there's stuff in there.
Yeah.
She's asking for the ingredients, and he goes, there's a bunch of stuff, and they blend it.
It's Indian food.
They
don't even know what's in it themselves.
Okay.
It's just Indian food.
Okay.
Cold, and they serve it. I'm like, so exactly, and they just repeat the ingredients. It's cooked stuff. Then it gets cold, and then they mix and they blend it. It says, yep, that's pretty much it. I'm like, thank you. That's very specific. So I'm like, we decided to order entrees. I'm like, what's the, I said, you know, I order this tandoori shrimp and it comes with the vegetable of the day and like, I'm like, what's the vegetable of the day?
What the fuck is that?
Do you hear that noise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Weston yelling at a jet.
Gee. A jet flew by.
And yeah. Oh, so jet, there's one coming in like 5 minutes. You'll see another jet. So then I'm like, what's the vegetable today? He says, oh, that's today's vegetable. I'm like, I got that much. Did you know what it is? And sometimes it's potatoes. Sometimes it's like peppers. Like, do you know which one it is today? So he goes and finds out, comes back. It's mixed peppers. I'm like, great, perfect. Yeah, 4 minutes. And I'm like, can I get an extra side of that? Ooh, very good. 3 minutes left and another jet comes. I'm like, can I get another side of the vegetable? And can I also get an extra side of the hot green chili sauce? Like, an extra version of it.
Are you understanding what's going on?
Yeah. I kind of. There's just Maria problems. You know, like, I tune out because I'm like, are we talking about mini blinds, side of vegetables?
Yeah, she's asking for extras this of everything. Like, she wants okay. a side. She wants vegetable of the day, extra, extra peppers, and then the sauce. She wants extra of that, too.
Yeah, I'm all right.
So finally,
confused.
Our dinner comes. No, wait, first 40 minutes go by, and then we still got our meal. And people have come after us are eating their meals. People are getting up paying for their bills. It is now 8:15. We got there at 6:30. I was like, where the fuck is our meal? Like, at this point, I get up and I'm like, I go up to the kitchen. I'm like, we ordered at 6:30. Maybe 6:45 we ordered because we put an appetizer order in first. I'm like, this is absurd. The guy's like, I'm so sorry. Hey, I'm just a messenger. I don't make the food. I'm like, you know what? You're a really bad messenger because so far you've delivered me nothing. The only message you've given me is they make stuff and it's hot and then it's cold and they blend it. That's the only message I've gotten from you so far. You've not given me a single answer. How about getting our food? So he goes and gets our dishes and he forgets one of them. Goes back to the other one. I'm like, I ordered a side of vegetables. I said, and these are green beans. Yeah, we're out of the other stuff. I'm like, can I get an extra side of green beans? And I get the hot sauce. He says, well, there's a little sauce in your plate there. I'm like, I know, but I asked for extra. Can I please have it? And Gable is doing it. So now 10 minutes go by. Everyone's eating. I'm like, so I just have to go to the kitchen. I'm like, may I please get a side of vegetables I ordered and a side of sauce? He says, oh, we're out of vegetables. He says, but I still have green beans left. I'm like, great, I'll take them. So he comes back to the table, and he gives me the sauce. And he says, oh, she's got extra green beans. She's not eating hers. So he doesn't bring me my green beans because he assumed I didn't want any since my companion at dinner wasn't eating her green beans on the table.
Jeez.
This is not, now it's like 3 hours. It was like one thing after the other. And at this point, I'm like, I didn't say anything. I'm like, because I can't believe that someone this dumb exists and is actually working in this restaurant.
Wow.
And that was a dinner. Yeah. So we got out of there like at 9:30.
Well, more importantly, how was your poop the next day?
By the grace of God, I shit like right before we left. We all had to poop. And we get late to the race. Actually, we're in traffic, horrendous traffic. We are still 3 miles away and the race starts. Like, we're watching the runners go by. And we all have to go to the bathroom. Like, we're in the car for over an hour and it's only 20 minutes away. We get there and we were running past like the start line, go run to the porta potties and ask the people if we can please, we're waiting, if we can please go and then take off and just catch up.
Oh my God. So
I did take a really nice, perfect, it was a perfect, perfect, solid, easy shit. I mean, it was like perfect, perfect shit. I mean, I got it right out in time. 6:40.
And then you did well in your race?
I did really well. Yeah, I did really well. I didn't like, you know, I would have preferred to have different starting conditions, obviously, not jumping out of a car, running to relieve my bladder and then quickly running across the start line and not like stretching or just, you know, getting a warm up or anything in.
So what time did you
but
shit?
The race is, I shit at 6:40, which is, you know, right when I had my appetizer. Exactly. So
12 hours.
Like 12 hours. Yeah. 11 to 12 hours. I usually eat dinner around 8:30 and I shit at 7:30 every morning. So it's 11 hours. Exactly.
And then what time did you start running?
The race started at 7:30. We left at like 7:45.
What?
Yeah, because we started late. We got there late.
So you started the race late?
We started the race late, yeah.
And you came in, how many people ran?
I have no idea. Probably thousands. I have no idea.
What place did you come in? Do you know?
I think in my age group, I did 11. And then I think 92 overall, maybe in the top 92 was seated.
Wow. And then how far?
Pretty well.
13 and a half miles?
13.1.
Did you train for that? Did you train for it leading up to it?
I do. I'm a coach and a run coach.
You're a run coach? I had no idea she was a run coach.
Yeah, she's a maniac with fitness.
I know. I had really no clue.
I'm a run coach at Lifetime Fitness. Yeah.
I had no idea. Okay. That's great. Coach. I bet you are a motherfucker to deal with, though.
I do. Well, I do the cross training. So I do on Thursdays. I do the Dawn Patrol. So it's a running circuit. We do cross training.
What's your coach style? Are you like come on, or are you like super positive and clapping? What do you do?
Oh my God, super positive and encouraging. But different people, like I'll modify it depending on people. Like some, I'm always positive and upbeat and make it fun. I'm not mean and brutal, but I'm definitely encouraging.
Hmm.
Definitely encouraging.
That's some, cool.
This is not these people are not the type of people that need like a beat down.
Yeah.
I think making it fun, encouraging, making it fun is definitely my style.
So have you
had fun.
Any other occurrences of anger lately with any public service people or customer service?
Oh my God, no, but Jeff totally did with, he was exploding like DCs and LCs today at Starbucks in New York. He texted me this morning, he's about to lose his mind.
Now he's
like, literally about to lose his mind.
He's going off on Starbucks?
Yeah, he was texting me about, he's like, the DCs and the LCs have fed up to New York, they're everywhere. He was losing his shit this morning because he ordered two drinks at Starbucks and they were incapable of figuring out how they ordered. He ordered two of the exact same drink and they charged them separately, different prices for each one. And he's like, it's a latte, an extra shot, and a venti cup. Ice. Like that's at the heart. And why do one of them was like a seven something and the other one was like $6. Like they're completely different and they're the exact same drink and they could not figure out how to bring up the two of this. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, and then they had to void them out and then recharge them. And it took them like 20 minutes basically to get two drinks and pay for them.
Jesus. Well, I feel like there's two groups that need to fear the two of you, the Starbucks employees and then Mexican servers that work at Indian restaurants. Are you ready for it, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we've been holding on for this whole time. You ready for
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Yeah. I just don't get it. And you know what? And I'm sure there's some great Mexican waiters out there.
Yeah.
But this one in particular was definitely missing like part of his brain. Or he's one of those kids that, you know, were probably like grew up in like the ghetto, like Tijuana or like somewhere near there and was malnourished and probably like kicked by his dad. And now he's grown up and it's like part of like the frontal area, you know, that's damaged. Sometimes you become schizophrenic and psychotic. And sometimes you just become really dumb. And he definitely is one of those became really dumb. And he's managed to get a job somehow.
Oh my God.
So whoever owns that restaurant can't be that bright because they hired this idiot.
Oh, shit, Maria. That's amazing.
Wow.
That was it.
That was very specific, her Mexican rant. Those
ghetto areas like Tijuana and fucking... Anyways, frontal lobe damage, schizophrenic, or they become just fucking dumb.
It's really specific.
Speaking of...
Oh, boy. It's a lot. I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
I need like a Valium after that.
Gang areas.
Jeez.
We got this phenomenal.
Oh, well, yeah, someone was watching you talk in our old neighborhood and they just sent a video in of you talking.
Oh, they had like just recorded me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Okay, the other day, when the fucking stupid cops had me handcuffed, the other day, the fucking idiots, like a LAPD, a bunch of punk. Idiots. Perro.
They're interviewing me on the street.
This is your old 18th Street gang.
Yeah, and drinking a Tecate out of a
sure.
brown bag.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, these people, it's funny, they get really pissed off that there's a camera and mic there, but they're not on camera. But when they get involved, they get on camera. You know what I mean? Like, they're not on camera, and they're yelling at the camera guys to get out of there. Then the camera guy puts the camera on them, and they go, don't fucking put me on camera.
Right. Well,
it's almost like the move to make when you want to get on camera, right?
I think the problem is drunk. When you're
everyone's
drunk. Yeah. So when you're drunk, you're like, oh, I'm fucking being videotaped. Don't fucking tape me, man.
She doesn't talk like that. She talks a little different.
Don't tape me, bro.
I could use audio of her for some game. I'm not sure what we would call it.
What? But this morning, I was kicking back with the guys from Temple Street and Diamond Street.
Kicking back.
My name is Jamal.
There she is.
Right now.
The guys from Temple Street, Diamond Street.
Ain't nothing funny. Take that shit somewhere else. You ain't paying nobody nothing and take a picture of them undercover. You you got a boom. You know, that's the thing to listen to people's voice.
You understand what's going on? She's really upset about the fact there's a camera.
What you want to be up?
Don't turn that motherfucker towards.
No. Just talk on me. It's your
choice. Yeah, how you gonna tell me? I don't even have. I'm too damn old to have a boyfriend.
That's right.
Yeah, you got that shit right. So when you open your mouth and talk, be sure.
What are you gonna do, homie? What are you gonna do?
He ain't gonna do shit.
Nothing.
But be sure when you open your mouth.
He ain't gonna do shit and flap his mouth. You know,
they're so drunk.
Yeah.
Everyone's drunk in this conversation. Uh-huh.
Yep.
but weed is the problem in America.
That's what homies do.
Everyone wants to go after weed, and this is how drunk people interact.
And they're out in public. It's just standing on the street corner.
Yeah, it keeps going. There's a lot of...
Bro, this is our old neighborhood, just so you know.
Yeah, and just so you know, I found something here that is exactly what I was talking to you about the other day. I'm going to play it for you in a second. Because we were having this conversation.
You know what? Get your camera away. Get your camera. Run both of y'all. Get going. Get going. Now. Get it going.
So remember I was telling you about like what's considered the east side?
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. And the west side. And I was like how it's so different from
yes.
like
yes. When you're a gangbanger, it's different.
When you're a gangbanger, it's different. Check this shit out.
Anybody that says F-U-C-K fuck 18th Street, I get dumb, brother. I got a fierro for them right here. Look. Hey, Perry, honest, between us, honest, I don't like cops. Son puercos animales. Oh,
this is the other clip, sorry. This is the other clip, but he doesn't like cops.
LAPD, sheriff, a bunch of idiots, puercos. That's right.
Somebody walks by, yells, fuck the police. Mm. He goes, that's right. All right, now this is the part.
Originals right here, Toy Boxer. You're in the west side right here. All these people come over here and stay right here. Hey, you know what? We're from South Central. Fuck that. You're in the west side.
You know where he is? Rampart Division.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That's the west side.
Yes.
So that, like, the guy that I met that I told you about, and he was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm from the west side. And he said, like, kind of like, it was like this area.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh, what are you talking about, the west side?
But that's, for them, it is. For gangbangers.
Because it's West Los Angeles.
Right.
West proper Los Angeles.
Right.
Los Angeles is basically the city of L.A. is like downtown in that area. That's L.A. So when you say West, I'm from the west side, you're from the west side of that.
Right.
They don't consider...
Downtown L.A. is considered L.A. to them.
Right.
Whereas the rest of us consider West L.A. like
is west of the
west
405.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Well, because they also see the world according to streets. You know, like 18th Street Gang, they have a hood that's like a grid of the city, these few streets. That's their whole world is a few streets.
But when he said that, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I was talking to you about.
When he said that or when you said this, when they were interviewing you.
But I was pretty drunk. I usually don't drink that much during the day, but this day I was drinking a lot during the day.
Yeah, what were you
He's pounding.
Fired up?
I'm pounding Tecate. Out of my brown bag. I think this is my fourth or fifth.
Out of my brown bag, homie. We were kicking it. I forgot kicking it. That's
original.
That's another total LA homie thing.
Yeah.
We were kicking it, Holmes.
Yeah.
Palabra.
Palabra.
That's fucked up about the mirror, what they did. La Mara did that shit. MS, the mirror. That's crazy sight right there.
How long were you with 18?
Since 1977.
He was in the gang since 77?
La M, of course.
Fuck, of course. Man.
Dude, that guy's an old school gangbanger.
But he doesn't seem old enough to be doing it that long.
Shit.
Got jumped in by three people, there by 18. 18 seconds.
They always have cool, and it like little things like that, like they jumped me for 18 seconds
right.
to be in the 18th Street Gang. He was born on the 18th also. By
it's called branding.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Well, we branded our gang.
Right.
There are things I can't talk about.
Murders.
Don't talk about it.
That I committed.
Of course.
Who? Rockwood? macas, bitches, Lockwood. In the penitentiary. Nah, you can't get it.
In the penitentiary? How?
Well, you know, we all got fucking tattoo guns and shit. Yeah. I love the penitentiary. And they will give me 6 months in jail right now.
He loves it. He would love to get 6 months right now.
It's probably why he's been in the gang for so long. He probably served a lot of that time in prison. You know, and you get out and you're like, oh, I guess I'm still in the gang.
Well, not only that, you're like, life out here is so much harder than inside.
Yeah.
Inside, he's like, I got my boys. I know how shit operates.
Not my boys. You got your homies.
You know what I'm saying.
Ese.
Well, it's this high enough, I suppose. This short.
I strapped her down, you know, to Lana's, you know.
This payaso right there.
I'm a homie from San Diego, from Otay. He did it.
Did it, payaso?
Yeah, we're Southerners. One thing about us.
And then what about the droopy? That's the droopy right there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, droopy right there.
Droopy.
See? I miss going to jail.
Yeah.
I got three.
Three strikes.
They bring your juvenile record and everything up. I got arrested for attempted murder of a police officer.
That's never good. That's always bad. Oh, man, he just said I miss being in jail.
Yeah, I heard it. I mean, yeah, I got it.
Can you let it settle in?
I'm trying. He's a lifer. All right.
Oh, fuck. Bless you.
I'm 46. Palabra, en serio? 46 years old. Chris Dormer, honest, may God be my witness, Chris Dormer, I promise you, si Dios quiere and the Holy Bible got me, he'll be my bunkie. I think he repent. I hate cops. He'll be my bunkie if I go to heaven. He'll be my bunkie. He didn't do nothing wrong. You just hating the way they treat you, not the way they treat me. You seen the other thing right there on 6th and Bonnie Bray?
What the? Bonnie Bray.
6th and Bonnie Bray.
That's our old hood, bro.
6th and Bonnie Bray. Yeah. That's literally four lights down
from
where Christina and I lived. Do you understand? We lived in one of the highest crime, worst fucking neighborhoods you can live in. Highest fucking crime. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's like it was off the charts for carjacking, breaking and entering. And then
assault.
It was
aggravated assault. Aggravated, was a big one.
Well, and it was all gang related.
Yeah.
All the violence was because we were at a crossroads between these guys, 18th Street Gang,
and MS.
And MS-13.
Yeah.
And there was a couple murders while we were there. One while I was masturbating in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it on the street. And then Jose, I called him and he goes, well, yeah, somebody just shot somebody in the head on 6. And I was like, cool, man.
That guy
went up and he just shot him in the head. It's like 3 in the afternoon.
Yes. Yes. That was a good neighborhood. The ghetto birds every night. Remember the helicopters? Every night. Just all fucking night, dude.
That's so crazy.
That was 6th a rough hood.
Remember we used to drive by and we're like, Bonnie Bray is the bad.
It was apparent that it was bad.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Because all the homies would sit out on their stoops.
Yeah.
I remember when we first moved there, I had a Volkswagen. I had the windows murdered out, like all of them. And one time I was just rolling on Bonnie Bray and these vatos, they were all fucking mad dogging me because they couldn't see that I was like a dopey white girl.
Right.
They were just like, oh, shit. Like they were checking me out.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. So I rolled down my windows like, hi, guys. It's
me. Did you really?
I rolled down the windows because they were looking at me like, who the fuck is this bitch with their tinted? They didn't know. They didn't know who I was.
Did you let them get in there?
Banging gangbangers?
Yeah.
Nah.
Why?
Not that time.
Another time?
Do you remember Jose, our old building manager, and one time the sink was plugged up.
What a
this is literally his reasoning. The sink was clogged and he goes, well, the sink is clogged, you see,
because the bathtub.
Tub is clogged because the water won't go down. You see, there's something in there plugging it up. I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
If if I unclog it, then all the water will go down. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, bro.
But right now, it won't go down because it's clogged.
It's all plugged up.
It's all plugged up.
I got to unclog it. I'm like, well, do you think you could unclog it? Yeah.
I have to get a device and then unclog it. Then the water will go down. And he actually said, he goes, but until I do that, there's going to be water there.
Right. Yeah. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
That was a wacky, wacky place. And then before him was an old man named Henry, who passed away, and that's how we got Jose. But Henry had about a 12-packer liquid lunch.
Every day.
Every day. And one time, my smoke, this is before you moved
no,
in
No, it was,
there.
Wasn't it Hal?
Hal, not Henry.
Right.
Hal.
Hal.
So Hal, yeah, he's 12 beers every, few hours. Anyway, the smoke detector was going off. It just wouldn't stop or something. So he was too drunk and old to get up on the ladder and pull the thing down. So he's like, just go up there, pull down the thing. And I'm like taking direction. And I'm like, all right. So I pull off the white part of the smoke detector. And then there's all these wires. And he's like, just cut the wires. And I'm like, are you sure that's a good idea? Because they're live. Yeah, he was drunk. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Just use these pliers. There's plastic on them. It's fine. Well, guess what, kids? You can't cut live wires. It sparked, and it was like zzz, like the massive spark, and there's like a black stain on the fucking wall. And I immediately ran down that ladder, boy. That's the last time I cut a fucking.
I remember
wire.
He was like, "I sorry. Shouldn't." I'm sorry. Yeah. I had a liquid lunch today.
Yeah, sorry. Like, oh, sorry. You could have killed me, bro. Sorry, sorry, SA. Fuck.
I son of that girl out there. I saw the cut of the wire, and she died.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. He likes beer.
He likes beer. Oddly enough, I will say the neighbors in that building were more civilized.
The nicest.
Than some neighbors we might have in nicer neighborhoods.
I remember it. Certainly the nicer than the ones we had in the next two neighborhoods.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. How that goes.
Remember when our car insurance, when we moved out of that neighborhood, went down like $300 a month.
Yeah, bro.
I was like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah, you're leaving a really bad neighborhood and you're going to a better one. I was like, oh, okay.
I know. When I moved in there, I would look at the LAPD crime maps, like just to see what's going on. And it would be fucking lit up, dude. Yeah. Like our
Dodger Stadium,
five block radius would just lit up with ag assault, like you said, a couple of rapes here and there. A
couple murders.
Murders, yeah.
Wow. Well, we could see MacArthur Park. I mean,
yes,
MacArthur Park was pretty famous as like where to score.
That's also where
score
they
score with needles.
They filmed Training Day there.
Remember that little film? Yeah, that was a fun time.
That's our old neighborhood, man.
That's what's called featuring as a comedian when you're a feature comic.
Rampart.
Yeah,
Rampart.
We definitely should have rented somewhere else, though, right?
Like, what happened was that place came. I had lived in a really crazy place in Silver Lake up that stair street. It was like 150 steps.
What the fuck were you thinking, though?
What I was thinking was I needed a break from society. That was my Ralph Waldo Emerson house.
Not that one.
The second
Rampart.
One. So what happened was I went on vacation with my dad to the Dominican Republic. I come back and the grapefruit that I had left out had been half eaten. And so there were bites taken out of shit.
Right.
And apparently we had a little rat problem. Mises, rats.
Yeah.
And I told the landlady, I'm like, dude, this is not cool. And she just didn't answer. She didn't respond. And I was like, I'm out of here, bro. So that was like the first place I could find as quick as I could find it, basically. And it was a night, but it was, we had the top corner unit in the ghetto. So it was safe. It was actually safe. Nothing bad ever happened to us, thank God. But just the neighborhood was
atrocious. That's what I'm saying, though. Why didn't you pick a different neighborhood?
Because I was a single girl at the time.
Right.
But it was too expensive to live alone in Silver Lake. It was too expensive.
No, but I'm not saying Silver Lake. A different neighborhood. Like, you picked the worst neighborhood.
I know. Well, part of me was a little more urban back then, a little grittier.
Man.
But it was too expensive. Like, I wanted to stay on the east side. I wanted to stay Silver Lake, Echo Park.
Yeah.
But that shit was too expensive. So that was, like, the cheapest neighborhood for the most value.
It's
like,
crazy.
I got that. It was a big space for me.
Yeah.
It was had AC. Remember we had, like, 15-foot high ceilings?
I remember one of my favorite things was that when...
Two parking spots. It was good.
Tandem parking.
Yeah.
I remember when the AC stopped working one time, and, like, this summer, I was like, Jose, you got to come up here, man. This is bad. And it's like just hot air. It's fucking boiling. And he goes, yeah, I got to call the coolant guy. And I go, okay. He goes, he's not around till Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was like Sunday. And I go, call somebody else. He's like, nah, he's my guy.
Right.
So we have to wait till Wednesday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my favorite. I get the guy's busy till next week. Well, there's other guys.
Yeah, call another guy. Nah, that's the guy that I call, though. If I call another guy, then it won't be the guy that I normally call. It would be a different guy. Right.
Remember, didn't he borrow like your suit hanger or something weird?
Garment bag. He goes, Tom. Yeah, he goes, you got a suit bag? And I go, what? And he goes, a suit bag. And I go, what's that? I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, like a bag you put a suit in? And I go, oh, a garment bag. And he goes, yeah, suit bag. Like he won't even take the new word into his vocabulary. Yeah, I got a suit bag. Go borrow it. You got to go to a wedding. You got to wear a suit. Yeah, you can borrow my suit bag.
He was the nicest. He and his wife, Linda, were the nicest people. And I remember one time I went down to their apartment to ask for something. And I got to, like, you know when you get to peek inside other people's apartments and see how they live? Now, you and I were hoarders, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. We had a one-bedroom apartment we were sharing. We had so much dumb crap between, which we still do. We have so much dumb crap. These people had an immaculate space.
Yeah.
They're the kind of people that the carpet, you could see the lines from it being vacuumed.
See, remember her? She was like, oh, Jose.
Oh, she loved, she used to call they loved him
Mario.
Each other.
Oh, Mario. And I go, what's Mario? She goes, it's a pet name.
They loved each other.
Mario. You could tell they still fucked a lot.
Yes. Yeah. And the, she even had like plastic runners, you know, like so that you could walk on certain parts of the carpet. They're sweet people.
One time I went to, we got like frozen treats that you microwave from TJ's.
Yeah.
Like little, you know, that you heat them up and they're like little hors d'oeuvres. Mm-hmm. And I was like, would you like some? And she just like mouthed.
She did the same to me.
Yeah, she ate like six of them. I was like, holy shit, you just devoured that.
I made spanakopita once from Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. And she came over and they were fixing something. And she goes, oh, is that spanakopita? And I was like, yeah. She goes, I love Spanish. I go, you want some? She ate about half of them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She was tiny.
Tiny, tiny. So was he. He was a fucking 100 pounds.
But, you know, that huge horse car.
He had a hog on him. He had that long hair that you like. That long, long hair.
He had such long hair.
He had like mid-back length.
Yeah, he was nice awesome.
Mustache.
He was Puerto Rican.
Total Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican Jose.
The fuck they had me handcuffed.
We're going to have to go back to 18th Street Gang. Later. We gotta get going.
We gotta also next time do King Ass Ripper. We talked about it at the top.
Oh yeah.
And we did not follow through. Sorry guys. Next episode we will catch up with our Lord Ass Ripper.
That's true. We'll catch up with some more
Lord of the Rips.
Lord of his assholeness. All right. Bye guys.
Bye meows.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, oh, oh my gosh. Oh, 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 oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.